What's going on, guys? Welcome to another edition of the AEW Rampage Review here on the Solid Monster Sounds of Channel for Friday, November 19, 2021. I am the Solid Monster for what was a very middle-of-the-road episode of Rampage. I don't know if it's just that there wasn't a whole lot going on or, you know, we were coming off what I thought was one of the best Dynamites they've done all year. But when this show was over tonight, it really was all about the main event. Everything else just was sort of there. This was not one of my favorite episodes, but we'll get into the show tonight. I want to thank everybody who joined me last night. We had a 14-year anniversary stream for the podcast that was interrupted, obviously, by a lot of breaking news. And we did talk about the WWE releases. And, yeah, I guess to kind of tie it into AEW, I think it will end up impacting AEW. We may see some faces popping up there in a few months. So thank you to everybody who joined me last night. It was an unbelievable night. We had a great turnout, a lot of super chats, a lot of love, and I very much appreciate it. Hit that like button and subscribe to the channel if you are not already subbed. Super chats are open. I'll read your questions and comments a little bit later on. I really just want to get right into it here. You know, they call Rampage the fastest hour on television. It's still the thing I love the most about Rampage. Easy watch. You know, you take out the commercials, it's about 48 minutes. It's easy to watch. Doesn't drag on too long. Rampage opened tonight with Darby Allin. And this is a very odd match when they announced it the other night. Because we don't usually see the Gun Club making an appearance on either Dynamite or Rampage. Usually they're relegated to the Dark or Dark Elevation shows. And, you know, I understand that the Gun Club is undefeated. And they've been racking up quite a few wins over the past year. They've been keeping them strong. But when they announced that Darby Allin coming out of that excellent match, that excellent opener he had with MJF that he lost at Full Gear, and announced that he would be wrestling Billy Gunn on this show, I thought that was a little strange. I guess it gave Darby something to do, but we just don't see Billy on television. We've seen, you know, people like Dustin Rhodes. I mean, they have some veterans on that roster. So they open with it here. Darby against Billy Gunn, who had the Gun Club in his corner. Sting was in Darby's corner. Billy's music. I assume this is the music that Billy Gunn has been using now. And I just haven't really paid attention to his theme song. But Billy's music does not fit him at all. I don't know who it fits, but it does not fit Billy Gunn. Let me just say that. But the man is 58 years old, still looks good. I'll give him that. 58 years old. They even mentioned on commentary that he still does bodybuilding competitions. That's actually why he got fired by WWE many years ago when he was working in developmental at the PC. I guess they thought he was setting a bad example when he did a powerlift. I think it was a powerlifting competition or some kind of weightlifting competition. Bodybuilding, and I think he failed the drug test, and they found out about it. I think he was trying to keep it on the down low. They found out about it. He got fired. So I knew that he was into the whole bodybuilding thing, and clearly it's working. Whatever it is that he's doing is working for him, because he does look in tremendous shape for his age. So Billy put Darby so high in the air early in this match on a back body drop that he almost put him up in the lights. He was whipping this kid's ass all over the ring. He was toying with him. Darby, you know, he may be one of the smaller guys in the roster, but he's one of the biggest stars in this company. And Billy Gunn was just toying with him. He was playing games with him. And Darby was selling the injured ribs. Finally, he built up a head of steam. He was going to go for his tope suicida, where he launches himself through the ropes. Billy Gunn's outside the ring. And here comes Darby. He shoots himself like a missile through the ropes. And Billy just sidesteps him. And Darby crashes and burns on the floor. Just kind of bounced over into the barricade. That looked like it sucked. They both end up on the top rope. And Darby, to escape, decides to bite him in the face. So he bites Billy in the face, and Billy, you know, gets back down on the mat. Darby decides to do a coffin drop onto Billy's spawn, his two sons, Austin and Colton, out on the floor. So he takes them out. Billy in the ring, when Darby gets back inside, Billy takes over again. And he's got Darby in one corner. And Billy Gunn goes into the opposite corner, and he's eyeballing Sting on the outside of the ring. Right, 58-year-old Billy Gunn is eyeballing 62-year-old Sting, saying, "I see you. I see you. I remember WrestleMania 31. Remember the whole DX NWO thing that had that big brawl?" So he's mocking Sting by doing the Sting scream that he does. And he flashes the crotch chop at him. And he goes for a Stinger splash in the corner. Darby moves out of the way. And Billy, and they had a great camera shot as Billy flew in. And I guess his head hit the top of the camera that was on the ring post. So he goes face first. He whacks the top of the camera. And Darby follows that up with the flipping stunner that he sometimes does. He hits a sloppy looking code red. It was very hard, I guess, for Darby to get a guy like, as big as him over for it. But he hits a code red. And then Darby hits the coffin drop, which, of course, is his signature move. That is Darby Allin's finishing move, is the coffin drop. Well, not only does Billy Gunn kick out of the coffin drop, he kicks out barely at one. A one count. He kicks out of the coffin drop. And then Darby hits a second one. He gets the pin. But even then, if you'll notice on the finish of this match, when Darby finally gets the pin, as soon as the referee hits three, Billy gets a shoulder up. It was almost like he was trying to be Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 when he kicked out at 3.1 at the end of the match. Darby bumped his ass off here. He did his best to make this exciting and sell the ribs. This was terrible. I thought this was terrible. This and especially, you know, coming off such a great match, one of the best matches on the entire show at Full Gear with MJF, where he came off like a total star. Billy Gunn, of all people, and I know Billy Gunn is an established name. He's been around forever. People, you know, they know who Billy Gunn is. But for Billy Gunn, of all people, to, you know, kick out of Darby's finish at one like that is just indefensible. I'm sorry. It's just, I don't care how big and jacked he is. I heard from all the, all the sycophants online. Of course, you say something bad about AEW, they come out of the woodwork here. And they lose their minds, and, you know, they were going off on how, well, you know, Billy is big, and he's jacked, and Darby is a little tiny man, he's a puny guy, and Billy is 6'4", 260 pounds, and blah, 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 blah. But I would counter that by saying they did a spot in this match where Billy Gunn went face first into the camera on top of the ring post. He whacked himself, he knocked himself loopy. I mean, would it have been all that unbelievable for Darby to follow up with his finishing move and actually get the fucking win the first time? Would have been perfectly understandable for him to get the pin there, or at least make it a close near fall before he follows up with the second one and gets the win. It was the whole kicking out at one, like, you know, get off me little jobber kind of thing, you know? Like, for Billy Gunn, of all people, you're going to give it to somebody, maybe give it to somebody else and let them do it. Maybe one of the younger monsters on the roster, but after the match was over, the Gun Boys attacked Darby. Sting made the save. Billy attacked him. And the Gun Club stood tall. So it looks like this is going to continue. I thought this was going to be a one and done, you know, win for Darby. Coming out of the pay-per-view, he beats Billy Gunn. But they're going to continue this, at least for one more week. Probably be a tag team match involving Sting. They're going to continue this. We're going to get Sting and Billy Gunn in the ring together. That's what it looks like. Even if just in a tag team match. Again, I get the psychology they were going for here, but I hated this. I hated this. I hated that finish. Then we had QT Marshall in the back. Oh, it goes from bad to worse. We got QT Marshall in the back with Tony Schiavone. He's talking about CM Punk and how they're in Chicago coming up this Wednesday. And he throws down the challenge to CM Punk, which CM Punk later on in the show, he was backstage with Tony Schiavone. He accepted the challenge. So the match is official. It will be CM Punk one-on-one against QT Marshall this Wednesday. One interesting little note is, and I've heard, you know, people talk about Cornette and all the little pet names he has for Kenny Omega and the Bucks and Marco Stunt and all the different people in AEW. And I've heard enough clips to have heard him talk about the Nightmare Factory. And so when CM Punk is cutting his promo and he's talking to QT Marshall and saying, bring all your boys. And he says, you know, bring Comorato and bring Solo. And the way he was saying it is the way the Cornet says it. So obviously, there are a fair number of people in this company, despite what they may say publicly. And I don't know if Punk has ever said anything about Jim Cornette publicly, but clearly he's got a lot of fans in AEW, despite the fact that he shits on them a lot. And I thought that was kind of interesting. There was definitely no way that was not intended, the way that Punk said that. And look, I've heard Tony Khan talk about Cornette. Tony Khan has gone on and praised Cornette and how he respects him and how smart he thinks he is, and he's lavished praise on him. So obviously, you know, Cornette, for all of his angst about a lot of what AEW does, clearly has a lot of fans in that company. Back from the break, we had an Inner Circle video with some narration by Chris Jericho talking about their win over American Top Team and the Men of the Year at Full Gear, and the end of the match where Jericho got very emotional, looking up at the heavens. You know, Eddie Guerrero passed away that day many years ago, so we talked about that. And we cut to Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page in the back. They had their rebuttal saying that this is not over. This feud is not over. And Ethan Page said that he was proud of Dan Lambert for never giving up in their street fight at the pay-per-view. Jade Cargill, one-on-one against Red Velvet, quarterfinal match in the TBS title tournament. Jade muscled Velvet over early with a fallaway slam, took her over. You talk about a size difference here between these two. And Jade followed that with a pump handle slam, dumped Red Velvet face first on the mat. Velvet came back with a leg lariat. That sent Jade Cargill out to the floor, and Red Velvet went for a tope, as everybody does, right? We have topes galore every single week. I think Baskin-Robbins should add a new flavor of ice cream and call it tope. So she goes for a tope through the ropes, and Jade Cargill reaches up, and she catches her with a palm strike. As she's about to come through the ropes, she catches her with a strike. Now, this is not before Red Velvet gets caught up in the ropes. So regardless of whether or not Jade Cargill was going to hit this palm strike, Red Velvet was going to get herself all caught up in the ropes, and this was going to look like shit no matter what. So, and we've seen a lot of people on the NXT show. I've talked about JC Jane as somebody who that's happened to quite a few times. She'll go to do something through the ropes, and she'll get her feet caught on the top rope. And one of these women is going to just get seriously hurt one of these days doing it. So Jade potentially saved Red Velvet there from a possible injury. So then Jade drops her with a uranage on the apron. They head into a commercial break. We come back from break. Jade is in control. She's stomping Red Velvet in the corner. Cargill is just ragdolling this girl, throwing her around the ring. She drops down. She does some push-ups. Jim in the chat says, I'll have a tope with some sprinkles, please. You put sprinkles, you can put a little chocolate chips, a few chocolate chips there on top, right? How do you like your sprinkles? Do you like them black or do you like them colored? Because you can get rainbow sprinkles. Or you could just get the regular, you know, dark-colored sprinkles. Whatever you like. I'm going to open my own ice cream shop. You guys can come on by. The tope will be my best-selling flavor. I'll give you guys the Salamonster discount. So after Jade is done with her push-ups, Red Velvet makes a comeback, hits a couple of clotheslines and a bulldog. Jade dodged Velvet with a leapfrog and then just leveled her with a pump kick. And she went for the Jaded, which is her finish, but Velvet kicked off the ropes, got a near fall. Velvet hit a spear for another near fall. And Red Velvet went for the final slice, but Jade Cargill countered it into her Glam Slam finish for the win. 1-2-3, Jade wins, and she advances to the next round of the TBS title tournament. Turtlehead says, I just won 15% off that ball shaver. Well, you should have used the Manscaped link. You can use the ExpressVPN one instead. It's down below. I thought these two had some very clear timing issues that were pretty noticeable here during this match. It wasn't a terrible match, but they weren't always on the same page. Jade is obviously still very green. She's very inexperienced. I'm very high on her. I've praised her before. She looks like a star. I think she'll grow into that role. The only way she's going to get better is by having more matches like this on TV. Because she's not on television every week, and AEW is not a touring brand. They tour with their television shows, but they don't go on the road and do live events. They don't do international tours yet, so she needs to have more matches like this, higher profile matches than just, you know, dark, in order to get better, and I think she will over time. I think she'll get even better than she is now. But there's definitely a little rough around the edges here during this match. Thunder Rosa is going to be facing Jamie Hayter on Dynamite next week. The winner of that match will meet Jade Cargill in the semifinals. So I am assuming and predicting that it will be Thunder, which I said a few weeks ago, there would be Thunder Rosa moving on. And we would end up getting Rosa and Jade Cargill. And look, Jade Cargill is still undefeated. Thunder Rosa may be the first person to hand her first defeat. Depends what kind of finish they want to do. Do they want to have a fluke win and then Jade beats her up when the match is over? Do they want to have a disqualification? Because they don't really do very many of those in AEW. So she's either going to beat Jade straight up or Thunder Rosa is going to fall to Jade Cargill. I guess a lot of it also depends on who goes to the finals, you know? Is Ruby Soho going to make it all the way to the end of the tournament? She's on the other side of the bracket. She has to get past Chris Statlander first. But let's say Ruby Soho makes it all the way to the finals. You could do Ruby as the babyface against Jade Cargill as the dominant heel. Or you could do a rematch between Ruby Soho and Thunder Rosa. Remember the end of that Battle Royal when Ruby debuted? We had a little back and forth between them. You could do babyface against babyface. So they have a few options. If it were me, I still maintain that Thunder Rosa should be waiting, holding off and going after the women's title and Britt Baker in a few months. I think I'd go all the way to the end with Ruby and maybe do Ruby and Cargill at the very end. Rosa got a pre-taped segment here on this show. She cut a promo on Jamie Hayter and said some curse words in Spanish that got bleeped out. So I don't know if you could read lips, but any Spanish speakers here, if you want to try to go back and translate exactly what Thunder Rosa was saying, let me know. The main event was Adam Cole and Bobby Fish, an undisputed reunion of sorts here on Rampage against Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Jungle Boy got the best of the lockup at the start. Adam Cole fought back. And Jungle Boy eventually got an arm drag. Cole came back with a kick to the face. Bobby Fish tagged in. He worked over Jungle Boy. And Jungle Boy hit an arm drag on Fish, the same one that he hit on Cole. And tagged in Luchasaurus. He hit a chop of his own on Bobby Fish. Tagged in Jungle Boy. So Jungle Boy was looking pretty good here until he got kicked by Adam Cole. Bobby Fish wore down Jungle Boy throughout the final commercial break. They had the picture-in-picture deal going, and it was pretty much just Fish, you know, working over Jungle Boy until they said, okay, we're back live. So we come back, and Jungle Boy makes a comeback. He tried for a tag to the Dinosaur, but Adam Cole cut him off and stopped him. But then Jungle Boy did get the hot tag moments later. Luchasaurus beat up both heels all by himself. Jungle Boy ended up back inside with Cole and was going for a suplex, but he held up and you could hear him yell, you know, Bobby, Bobby. He was calling for Fish. I guess Fish was late on the spot to break it up. So overcame Bobby Fish finally to break up the spot, as was originally intended. Adam Cole picked up Jungle Boy for what appeared to be either he was going for either a vertical suplex or an Ushiguroshi. Held him up, though, and Bobby Fish kicked him. He kicked Jungle Boy right in the back of the head, and then Cole dropped him. And Bobby Fish then did a flip dive, cannonball dive out over the top rope, wiped out the dinosaur on the floor. Jungle Boy, Adam Cole, they're in the ring, they're trading kicks. Cole got the better of it. He was setting up for the Panama Sunrise. Jungle Boy, though, as Adam Cole comes off the ropes for the Panama Sunrise, right? He jumps, he lands, but Jungle Boy counters it. He vaults Adam Cole up into the air, and right behind Jungle Boy's Luchasaurus. So he vaults Adam Cole up. Luchasaurus grabs him in a powerbomb position, and he drops Adam Cole with a powerbomb. So they had Cole seemingly beat. Fish, though, made the save. He broke it up. Fish worked over Jungle Boy's quad, kicks to the leg, gave him a dragon screw, took him down. And then he flashed the cutthroat gesture. Fish came charging into the corner. Jungle Boy, though, hit an exploder in the... Well, not an exploder, but he grabbed him and took him over, belly to belly into the corner. Here come the Young Bucks. Here come the... Yeah, good point, by the way. Mr. Dynamite. It's been so long since we've had Red Dragon hitting the... chasing the dragon finish. But that... It was kind of similar to that. That's a good pickup. By the way, you like little Kyle there on the screen? Pay attention to little Kyle, too, because that guy knows what he's talking about. Look at that. Well, now the Super Chat is blocking it, but... Be sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram right there, as Kyle is pointing out on your screen. Of course, if you're listening to this on the audio, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But here come the Young Bucks. They're creeping down the aisle. But here comes Christian Cage, who before this match in the pre-match promo with Mark Henry in the middle, Christian said he was going to bring a friend of his down to the ring if they wanted to get involved. And that friend was a steel chair. The same chair that was used on Matt Jackson at Full Gear when Jungle Boy gave him that concerto. So here comes Christian with the chair. He chases them around the ring. Adam Cole joins with the Bucks. And all three of them hightail it up the ramp onto the stage. That leaves Bobby Fish all by himself in the ring. And Jungle Boy ends up getting Bobby in the snare trap for the submission win. Not the first time that we have seen Adam Cole leave Bobby Fish out to dry. So there may not be an Undisputed Era reunion after all, but that does not mean that we cannot get a Red Dragon reunion, which I am hopeful for next month, since I would hope that Kyle O'Reilly is counting down the weeks to his contract expiring in NXT. So we could get a Red Dragon reunion, maybe even facing off against the Elite Crew. Maybe they're not together. Maybe they're against each other. Maybe we get a match. Maybe. Right? The Bucks against Red Dragon. It could happen. Could very well happen. I thought the main event was fun on what was a very much middle-of-the-road episode. Not my favorite episode of Rampage tonight. They can't all be winners. Sorry, AEW diehards. I know you hate to hear it. I know I'm driving them absolutely fucking nuts by saying it. But yes, this was not one of their better shows tonight. Don't worry, you'll live. You'll survive. You'll wake up. The sun will shine. You'll go out. You'll live your life. You'll go get coffee. You'll go pump gas into your car. You'll have a very enjoyable Saturday, despite my opinion of this show. It's like every time it's like a science. If I put a tweet up and I say anything that is construed as even remotely negative about AEW or a segment on a show, holy shit, their heads explode. They're almost as bad as the WWE sickos. Let's take a look at the poll. Well, 79% of you said thumbs up on this show. So a lot of people enjoyed the show. Enough to give it a thumbs up, 21% thumbs down. So at Solomonser on Twitter is the place to go if you want to vote in the Twitter poll. This Wednesday, it is a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Dynamite. I will be live with you guys on Thanksgiving Eve. We'll have a turkey, not turkey day, but Thanksgiving stream. It's like the old Survivor Series days, right? You had Survivor Series on Thanksgiving Eve. Well, originally, I think it was Thanksgiving Day, and then it was moved to Thanksgiving Eve. That's what I grew up on, Survivor Series, the Thanksgiving Eve tradition. And I don't remember if it was 92 or it might have been years after that, actually. But they killed all the tradition. Survivor Series has no tradition left anymore at all. There is no such thing as tradition anymore when it comes to Survivor Series. I know they say they have the traditional elimination matches, but it's not the same. But Dynamite on Wednesday has Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Colt Cabana as he tries to go through each member of the Dark Order before he gets to Hangman Adam Page. And somebody online had done the math, and given the number of members of the Dark Order relative to the number of weeks left between now and I think that first episode of Dynamite on TBS in January, Danielson could go through each member of the Dark Order and time it perfectly, I think, to have the title match with Hangman on that January 5th Dynamite. I was thinking they would do it on the first TNT special a few days later on the 8th. And they still might, but I could see them wanting a big main event for that first TBS show. But he's got to get through Colt Cabana first. I'm sure it'll be a tough challenge. I think he's up for the task. Thunder Rosa against Jamie Hayter, TBS title tournament quarterfinal match coming up on Wednesday. QT Marshall one-on-one against CM Punk. Cody and Death Triangle take on FTR, Andrade El Idolo, and Malakai Black. So a pretty loaded in terms of the star power on the show. That's a pretty good lineup, even though QT Marshall is there. But that's a pretty good lineup for Wednesday. Now, next Friday is a Black Friday episode of Rampage. And the only thing they've announced so far is Eddie Kingston one-on-one against Daniel Garcia. They also had an announcement tonight, and that is that there will be another Winter is Coming edition of Dynamite on Wednesday, December 15th. That's going to be in Garland, Texas. So any of you guys who live in Texas, if you're going to the show, Winter is Coming to Texas on December 15th. Let's take a look at your super chat. I see Food Hive is with us tonight. Welcome to him and everybody else who is joining me here in the live chat on a Friday night after what was a very busy stream last night. We went 3.5 hours. We're not going 3.5 hours tonight. In fact, I don't know if we're going to go an hour tonight. I think we're going to, they call Rampage the fastest hour in wrestling. This might be the fastest hour in streaming tonight. But that'll be up to you guys here. Let's see how quickly we get through these messages. All right. Let's go over to your super chats and throw it to you guys. Let's throw it to you. Let's see what you guys are talking about here. Nayef Alsafar dropped $4.99. Nayef was with us last night as well. Thank you, Nayef. Joshua, he dropped a whole bunch of super chats. So let's see here. Buy or sell Punk against Cole promo or Cole against Brian match? Punk and Cole promo. The match, of course. Always the match. Joshua says, better WrestleMania match, John Cena against Shawn Michaels or Undertaker against Edge? I think I would go Taker and Edge from 24. Where does Roman Reigns rank among the greats in WWE? He's the best they have right now in terms of all time. He's not top three for me, but, he'll when all is said and done, we'll see where he ranks. In terms of all-time greats, he's not on Mount Rushmore or anything like that. He's not yet in that conversation. Tony Khan dropping $1.99, saying, happy 14-year anniversary, Solomon Monster. Look at that. Tony Khan dropping in here on the street. And dropping $1.99. Tony Khan's not gonna like what I said about that opening match here on Rampage tonight. Tony, you could do better. Joshua says, can you name your favorite MLB players watching growing up? Yeah, Gary Carter, Daryl Strawberry. Those probably were the main two. I would say them and probably Keith Hernandez, if I had to round it out to three. All Mets players. Ryan Spies with the $4.99. Cole leaving Fish for Dead 2 weeks in a row pretty much confirms the Undisputed Era reunion is not happening. That does seem pretty obvious. Mike Drop Hooligan, choose or boo Undertaker against Shawn Michaels, Hell in a Cell 97, or Bret Hart and Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13. Ooh. And think about that. Both those matches, 1997. One of the great years for WWE. Boy, you know, that's a tough one. I love both matches to death. Two of the best matches and most important matches in company history. Given their influence. If I had to choose one over the other, though... Man, that's a really, really tough one. I probably would go with Hell in a Cell. But it's neck and neck. Tyrone Dunston, thank you for the 5 spot. WWE has gone from the PG era to the budget cut era. Quintus Brown, decent show tonight. Clearly CM Punk listens to Cornette's podcast. O'Reilly or the Briscoes will debut at Winter is Coming. The timing does work very nicely. I don't know what the exact day that Kyle's contract is up. We've heard December 3rd thrown around for Johnny Gargano. I don't know if that would be the same date for Kyle, but very, very possible. If his contract is up, do we see him on the Winter is Coming show? I think there's a very good shot. And the Briscoes, I mentioned that I think about a week ago. I think it's inevitable they'll end up in AEW. I mean, at least for a few appearances. I don't see why they wouldn't. No reason for them not to come in unless Tony Khan has something against them, you know, for some reason. Which I haven't heard or read anything or ever heard him make a comment that would lead me to believe that. Buy or sell, Joseph Brooks, thank you for the $4.99. He says, buy or sell on what was the better triple threat? Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, and John Cena at Royal Rumble 2015. Or Rock, Undertaker, Kurt Angle at Vengeance 2002. Boy, you guys know me so well. Two of my favorite triple threats in WWE. I think I would go with the Rumble in 2015. That was an excellent one. Hey, Brock Bennington, not Lesnar. Brock Bennington, what's going on? Solomonster, do you think AEW could benefit from releasing some of their own talent to make way for the recent influx in free talent? Vicky and Matt. I don't think that Tony Khan is interested in releasing anybody right now because I don't think he wants to be letting people go at the same time the WWE is, because there's a perception right now that WWE just fires everybody and AEW doesn't. Eventually, they will let some people go. Optics and timing, though, are everything. I don't think he wants to let anybody go right now. So, no, I don't think they're going to let anybody go yet. But I do think that they're going to bring some more people in. I mean, he basically said as much. He was on Busted Open Radio and said, look, every time we hear about these cuts, he goes, I can't bring everybody in, but usually we look and there's, you know, a handful of people, 3 or 4 people that we think could contribute, and we'll bring them in. So look at who they got rid of yesterday and, you know, take your pick about who you think would help AEW the most. Food Hive just became a Sound Off channel member. We're upgraded. Anyway, Beavis rocking out for Food Hive. Happy 14 years. I've been around for 6, and you are extremely appreciated for it. I know it's a lot of work, but you really do make a difference in my life by helping me get through the day. God bless you. Well, God bless you too, Food Hive. I enjoy your company here on these streams. Thank you very much. Rodimus Prime dropping 20. Rodimus, what's going on? I still have that email question. I'm going to get to it on Sunday. As I was watching the stream last night, you mentioned NXT. I cannot stand the current version, and I don't care to catch up on it on the network. NXT 2.0 is just all over the place. It is harder and harder to watch that show each week. I'm going to keep at it as long as I can, but I feel like at some point it's going to end up being an Impact situation where I just kind of check out. You know, I've had enough, and that's going to be the end of the NXT reviews, but I am sticking with it for now. Tuxedo T Servo, which wrestling god did we piss off to get QT Marshall back on TV in a feud? Who is clamoring for that? Well, they need somebody to put in the ring with Punk for him to beat in Chicago. And look, he gets heel heat. I'll give the guy credit. He's about as exciting to me as watching paint dry, but at least when he's out there, the people hate him enough that he gets heel heat, so there could be worse people, I suppose, to put Punk in the ring with. Jacob Donnelly, what's going on, Jacob? $5 super chat. QT Marshall beats CM Punk in Chicago next week for the mega heel heat. Well, he has heat, but let's not go overboard. Let's not get carried away, Jacob. The heat that he has is perfectly fine. He doesn't need any more heat. Uffman Entertainment. Funny how Thunder Rosa gets censored when she cussed in Spanish, yet Jericho did not in his video clip. She must have said something really bad, all right? Or they just bleeped her because they wanted you to think that she cursed, which is more likely what happened. Griga, thank you for the $5 super chat. Food Hive, I pop huge for Mark Henry's Rampage catchphrase. There's a lot of people that don't like it, and they think it's very cringy when he is out there saying, "It's time for the main event," with that big cheesy smile on his face. It's really all that he does now. And Big Show is off doing whatever he's doing, community service, I guess. Well, community service. Community outreach. Big Show committed some kind of crime. He's off doing community service work for AEW. I don't know what he's doing. Ted Evans, thank you for the 20. Very kind of you. What are your thoughts on Leo Rush? I think he has all the tools. Great on the mic, unorthodox, but super skilled in the ring. Just feel like something always interferes with him reaching his full potential. I think he's ultra talented, and I think Leo Rush as the TNT champion one day. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Leo Rush as anything more than the TNT champion? I don't see it. Food Hive, what was for dinner? Chinese food. We had some chicken and shrimp steamed with some vegetables and cashew nuts. And then I lathered the brown sauce on instead of having it cooked in the brown sauce where it's just completely drenched. But chicken and shrimp steamed with cashew nuts is my favorite dish. We got a great Chinese restaurant here. Their food is amazing. It's the one thing I will miss. I will literally mourn. I will sit Shiva. if I ever move out of this place and no longer can go to this Chinese restaurant, I will be devastated. We'll have to have a memorial stream here on the channel to cheer me up. I see Mr. LH in the chat. One of our channel members is going nuts with all of our custom emojis. Or some of them, anyway. You get emojis like that if you become a channel member. Ted Evans, how often do you go back and watch older WWF or WCW stuff on Peacock or on YouTube? Lately, not as much as I'd like to. I really want to pick back up with the Superstars episodes on the network, even though they only start from 1992. I had started going through them in order week by week during the pandemic last year. Over a year ago, and I left off right before SummerSlam 92, and I've gone back and watched some, but I really need to pick up with it again. There's a lot of great stuff. It's one of the only reasons I even subscribe to Peacock, besides the pay-per-views, to watch them so I can review them here. It's not even the new stuff, really. It's really the classic stuff. All the content they give you on there, whatever you think of WWE, for the $9.99 or less. Some people can get it for less, I think, with all of the classic stuff that's on there. And that's just WWE. There's WCW, NWA, World Class, AWA. I mean, to me, it's a steal. Marcus the Entertainer. There's no venue booked for January 8th on AEW's schedule. Well, that means one of two things. Either that will end up not being the date, as was rumored, for the Battle of the Belts, or, and this was my fear, because the talk about those TNT specials in January, and it'll be one per quarter, is that they're only going to be an hour long, which tells me that they might be taped. And so if they're taped, that kind of sucks. That could be why there's no venue listed for that date. Stellar Steven attended AEW Dynamite and Rampage in Norfolk. Fun show. So Steven was at the show tonight. Tonight was another taped show. It was taped on Wednesday. Food Hive, also, I've been a member from the start. Well, did you just upgrade? Because sometimes when people upgrade or they change to a different tier, that could be what happened. If not, then maybe Beavis just wanted to rock out, right? And he just decided to pop up on the screen and lie to all of us and say that you became a channel member. I thought you were already a channel member. I said, wait, did he upgrade? What did he do here? Did he go from superstar to legend? Dried chicken and turkey without flavor. AEW has unofficially given Vicky Guerrero her own female faction on Dark. Well, I don't really have time to watch Dark each week, so I was not aware of that. Anyway, I think that's pretty much where we're at on the Super Chat front. We are caught up on your messages. Thank you. As always, love hearing from you guys. I'm just really burned out after that stream last night. And a lot of work today, and getting ready for the podcast on Sunday. Trying to get everything done early and hopefully recorded as early as possible on Sunday, because then there's a pay-per-view. We had a pay-per-view last weekend. Now we have another pay-per-view this weekend. It never ends. Oh, we got another super chat from Johnny A, dropping $20. Great show as always. Hosting a Zoom meeting with some sci-fi fans tomorrow night. You are an inspiration with all you do, and I thank you greatly. We'll have fun on the Zoom call. It sounds like fun. A lot of people Zooming over the last year and a half. Oh, I see what it is. Okay, I know what's going on. Because now we see Uffman. There's Beavis rocking out on screen. When you guys, when the channel members send one of these messages that pop up in color in the chat over there, and it says how many months you've been a member for, I think the alert pops up for those two. So that I think that's what's going on. When Food Hive sent that message before, it just kind of, it triggered the alert. But Uffman has been a channel member for 8 months. Go me, he says. Sound off legend, Uffman. I appreciate you and all your hard work in the chat, moderating each and every week. Let's move over here to our weekly Be the Booker segment, where we randomly choose... And a book, I should say, the WrestleMania main event. And there you see on the Zinfamous tweet, shout out to @ZinfamousHD on Twitter, you see John Morrison, who now is unemployed, although he'll be paid for the next 89 days. John Morrison, one of the 8 WWE talent releases yesterday. I will have a lot more to say about that on the podcast this Sunday, I assure you. And if you want my initial thoughts, if you want to know how I reacted in real time when the news broke, we were live here on YouTube over 24 hours ago when the news came down about the releases. You can go back and watch the stream from yesterday. Give it a like while you're there, by the way. Give this stream a like, too. But yeah, if you missed out on any of that 3.5-hour stream last night, do go back and check that out. That was something else. I certainly did not expect that, but let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do it. Let's do Be the Booker. See what we come up with this week. Let's see. The last two times I've done this, I've landed on Roman Reigns. And we have the Ultimate Warrior. It's my warrior impersonation there. Warrior or Urkel, I'm not sure, but the Ultimate Warrior has been in a WrestleMania main event once before. Let's see who his opponent is going to be. The Ultimate Warrior will be stepping into the ring with Finn Balor, the Demon Prince himself. Ultimate Warrior against Finn Balor. That is an interesting match. These are the kind of matches I like, because these are the matches I've never even thought of. But now I look at that and I go, I kind of think that would be a pretty good match. I actually think that would end up being a pretty good match. WrestleMania? I could see it. I'll allow it. I approve of that match. I think this is a worthy WrestleMania main event. Let's see if we have the same luck with the ladies. We definitely did not the other night. Hoping when I landed on Rosa Mendez, let's hope we have better luck here. Of course, this is going to be a short segment. First lady involved is Toni Storm, one of my favorites, who now is in the Survivor Series this Sunday. Thank Christ. Should have been on the team to begin with. But she is the replacement. She's the backup for Aaliyah, who got bounced last week. So Toni Storm getting her time to shine here in the WrestleMania main event. Who will Toni Storm be stepping into the ring with? We could have a clean sweep of good matches here this week. Toni Storm against Xia Li. Again, not bad. Not bad. I'll allow it. I think we got a pair of good matches there. What do you think? Ultimate Warrior against Finn Balor and Xia Li against Toni Storm. I like it. No fail buzzer this week. Devin Garcia, thank you for that $5 super chat. Happy late anniversary, Solo Monster, and congrats. Discovered you through TV Tracks when you talked about the Sheamus-Randy Orton match on Raw the night after WrestleMania 29. I was at that show, by the way. That was at the, it's not the Izod Center anymore, but it was the Izod Center in New Jersey, which had one of the greatest Money in the Bank cash-ins in WWE history. In fact, the second greatest Money in the Bank cash-in in company history outside of the Seth Rollins one at WrestleMania 31. I mean, that one is hard to top. But when I tell you that the building literally shook when Dolph Ziggler came out with AJ Lee and Big E Langston and they stormed down to the ring to cash in on Alberto Del Dipshit and Dolph won the World Heavyweight Championship, the building rumbled. The building rumbled. It was such a great moment. It was a goosebumps moment. And there was actually a lot of really good stuff on the show that night. There was a cool segment where Daniel Bryan came out, and he was kind of side-by-side with Kane and The Undertaker when The Shield was threatening to attack The Undertaker. And, you know, it's those shows that I remember. But that show is really all about that Money in the Bank cash-in with Dolph. The peak of Dolph Ziggler's wrestling career was that night on Raw the night after WrestleMania 29. Doesn't get any better than that for Dolph. Dolph has never and will never have a bigger moment than that night. And to think that that was 8 years ago. Dolph Ziggler is still around and still employed by WWE and on television pretty much every week. And he peaked 8 years ago. But he's still there. Through all the releases and all the bullshit, he's still there. He's a survivor. The guy's still hanging around. Say what you want to about him. All right, so I'm going to be live again on Sunday night, Survivor Series, even if you don't really care about Survivor Series. And I know many of you are not very happy with WWE this week after the news of yesterday. But join me here anyway. Come support the channel. Come support the stream. Come hang out with me. We'll talk Survivor Series. And take your questions and do what we do. I got you covered. And, of course, episode 731 of the podcast will be dropping earlier in the day on Sunday. Probably I'll try to do it, you know, the whole thing as early as I can. Mid-afternoon, probably. It'll drop on all the usual platforms. Got a lot of good stuff lined up for that show. Dried chicken. Who is the better ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi or John Laurinaitis? Is that even a legitimate question? Obviously, it is the ace of New Japan. Mike Drop Hooligan with the five. Better crowd pop, Austin Backlash 2000 or Undertaker Judgment Day 2000? And that was back-to-back months. It was April 2000 and May of 2000. I'll throw another one on the list. February of 2000, when Kane walked out on Raw with Paul Bearer after that big 10-man tag. Go back and listen to the reaction that Kane got. There are a lot of big crowd reactions like that in the year 2000. You go back even the night that Linda McMahon announced that Stone Cold was going to be in the Rock's corner at Backlash. There was no glass shattering. Austin wasn't there. It was literally Linda McMahon, the most vanilla, monotone-sounding human being on the fucking planet, standing in the ring and just saying the name Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the place erupted like you wouldn't believe. There were a lot of really fun moments like that year. Of the two that you mentioned, though, you know, they were in Louisville the night of that Iron Man match with Rock and Triple H. I'm almost positive they were in Louisville. And the crowd went apeshit when Undertaker came out, American Badass, and he's laying waste to everybody and, you know, punched Vince McMahon in the face and gave Shane McMahon a big choke slam. I gotta go with Austin at Backlash. It was like this long, sustained ovation from the moment he walked out to the moment Rock won the belt from Triple H. It was just this incredible moment. I can't vote against that. Dr. NXT Scorpio, speaking of Xia Li on SmackDown, apparently her character is going to be a comic book character or something like that. I don't know. I could be wrong. Well, let's wait and see. Right now, we've had a few vignettes for her on television. Does it even really matter? We had vignettes for Hit Row, and now they're gone. You know, you and I are talking about Xia Li on SmackDown. A month from now, she might be next on the cut list. So I almost feel foolish for even trying to come up with ideas for what they could do with her. Dorenzo, hey, Solomonster, sorry I missed the anniversary stream. I was working at the time. Been watching you since the TV track days. Here's to another 14 years. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, you made it tonight. So that's all that matters. Marcus the Entertainer, channel member for 2 months. Is every remix to The Rock's theme song just a remix to the Nation of Domination theme? I love The Rock's theme. I know some of them are. I don't know about all of them. Rock had some pretty good remixes, and then there were one or two that he used on TV literally once and never use it again. And I don't know if it's on YouTube, but if you guys search for it, I know I'm not crazy. There was an episode of Raw. I want to say it was after he joined the corporation. It might have been late 98, I think. And I swear it was like a Biggie Smalls song. Or it sounded like one. He came out to some remix version of a Biggie Smalls song. And it was literally used once, and it was never heard again. So he had a whole bunch of different remixes, and some of them did not last very long. Juan Ocampo says, I wonder if Linda McMahon would get a pop today. Not like that she wouldn't. It would be very mild. You don't get crowd pops very often these days like you did back then. Because there's a different audience, too. You know, a lot of that audience was really made up of teenagers and, you know, younger people who just would bring signs, just a sea of signs, right? And they were just losing their minds and probably getting drunk and acting stupid and just there to have fun. It was like a big party. Raw is not a big party. I mean, it's whatever the opposite of a party is. But the audience makeup is just different. You don't have as many teenagers or college age kids going to the shows. You have more younger kids. You have more families going to the shows. So it's just different. You're not going to get those same loud reactions like you were getting on a weekly basis back then. You'll get them every now and then now, but not as much. Devin Garcia, hey, Solomonster, out of all your impressions, I still think your Willow one is underrated. Oh, you don't like the Josh Matthews one, where it sounds like he's got a stick up his ass? Marcus the Entertainer, The Rock, got a great pop at that Breakdown pay-per-view. Yeah, they were in Canada, I think, for that show. And that was the triple threat, right? It was Rock, Ken Shamrock, and Mankind in the cage match at Breakdown. That was that little brief period of like 2 months after SummerSlam where he was a white-hot babyface, and then they turned him heel and he was the corporate champion. Ollie, just want to say thank you, Solomonster, for 14 years. Good luck. Well, thank you for the love. I do appreciate that. Colbert in the chat says they posted that version of The Rock's theme on WWE's Instagram this week. Are you serious? I did not know that. I swear I did not know that. Here I am thinking it was such a rare thing. Maybe it wasn't as rare as I thought, but I knew I wasn't crazy, though, so at least I know it actually happened. It definitely sounded like a Biggie Smalls song. Mic Drop Hooligan, choose or boo? Elmer Fudd or Yosemite Sam? I'm a Yosemite Sam guy. Bret Hart, our good friend Bret Hart. This year, all the elections in my country and a WWE pay-per-view had coincided. This Sunday is the presidential election and Survivor Series. It is effing weird. That is weird. Chris wants to rank the top three Breaking Bad scenes. There were so many good ones. I'll give you two of them. Let me see if I could do this without spoiling anything important. The greatest, and then we'll get out of here, but the greatest episode of any television show I think that I've ever seen, and maybe the greatest episode of television, period, is from season 5 of Breaking Bad. It's the Ozymandias episode. From the very first scene, all the way through. Best hour of television I've ever seen in my life. But the scene where Walter just cracks. He's in the crawl space under the house, and you know, his wife comes in, Skylar comes in, and is looking down at him, and yeah, he's looking for money that isn't there without getting into all the details, and then he has this psychotic break, and he starts laughing. That whole scene is one of my favorite scenes in the entire series. Fire Panda 007, all right, Solomonster, I need your prediction. Does NXT make it through 2022? Also, Ciampa should be champion forever. You cannot change my mind. Well, you're going to be a very disappointed man, because Tommaso Ciampa is not going to be champion for that much longer. And when he loses the NXT championship, that will be it for Tommaso Ciampa, because Tommaso Ciampa does not fit into their vision of what this NXT is supposed to be. So they need some veterans there for now to help get things going, and so he's playing his part. Don't think that this is some kind of big investment in him or some kind of big vote of confidence in Tommaso Ciampa. This is only temporary. And when he drops that title, that will be it. That is going to be the last time that you see Tommaso Ciampa with that NXT championship. I guarantee you. There is a press conference, I believe. Did it already happen? I thought it was supposed to be happening around midnight Eastern time, involving New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah. And nobody really seems to know exactly what the nature of the announcement is going to be. So let me, before I get out of here, let me check and see if that press conference either has happened or is in the process of happening. Because I was reading about that earlier, I'm very curious what the news was, but I don't see anything. Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh, here we go. So we do have news coming out of this press conference, a little bit of breaking news here. Second night in a row, some breaking news on the stream. This is from PWInsider.com. New Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Noah are currently holding a joint press conference this evening. to announce that they will be working together for the January 8th, 2022 Wrestle Kingdom 16 event at the Yokohama Arena. That is the... So, for those who don't know, Wrestle Kingdom is typically two nights. They've done it that way the last few years. And it will be January 4th and 5th at the Tokyo Dome. But what they're doing this year coming up, they're having a third day of Wrestle Kingdom a few days later in a smaller arena on January 8th. That's the show that they're referring to here. So New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah are going to work together on that third Wrestle Kingdom date on January 8th. Well, January 8th, there you go. Right, that could be the Battle of the Belts that AEW is going to be doing. The idea is that the Yokohama event will not be a traditional New Japan production, but instead will be billed as New Japan versus Pro Wrestling Noah, airing live on pay-per-view in both Japanese and English before being made available for VOD on New Japan World. So that is very cool, right? The forbidden door continues to swing open between companies. Now we have New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah working together. Could be the start of an even bigger relationship, potentially, between the two companies. So that's very cool. All right, so I think we can end with that little bit of breaking news here. Thank you all for the super chats tonight. Yes, Anti-M Bishop, Kenta versus Mara Fuji. He's already getting excited. Look at this. Hey, the Forbidden Door is not just an AEW thing. The Forbidden Door is a global phenomenon now. Bash 8 says, I don't watch Japan, so I don't care. Well, he just rained on your parade. Don't tell that to Anti-M Bishop. He's not going to like hearing you say that very much. Mic drop hooligan, better character, Badger or Skinny Pete? Oh, we love Skinny Pete. We all love Skinny Pete from Breaking Bad. Both very minor characters, but I got to go with Skinny Pete. Joey says, Forbidden Door is everyone but WWE. Pretty much, yeah. It pretty much is. AEW, New Japan, MLW, now Ring of Honor is letting guys go and helping get them set up in other companies. MLW, I think I said. GCW. New Japan, Noah. AAA. The Coug says, Maki Ito-chan, I'm sorry, at the Tokyo Dome, Ito-chan. Mr. Ozone says, WWE doesn't know how to open the Forbidden Door. They forgot their key, apparently. Yes, they forgot their key. So they are WWE, maybe that's why WWE doesn't walk through the Forbidden Door. I think we just figured it out, guys. We now know why WWE does not walk through the Forbidden Door, because they forgot their key, and they have no way of opening the door. It is locked, and they can't get it open. Somebody has to get them a locksmith. Fire Panda, who do you think is going into the WWE Hall of Fame next year? Possibly nobody, because they have not announced a date or a location for the Hall of Fame. So there is no indication that the Hall of Fame is going to be part of WrestleMania weekend next year, unless it is a late addition. But when they do have a Hall of Fame next, I think Undertaker has got to be one of the favorites, I think, to go in. I'll bet Vince McMahon swallowed the key. That's probably what he did. He took the key, he just kind of dangles it over his mouth, opens his mouth, and swallows it. He has no interest in the Forbidden Door. He makes enough money without the Forbidden Door. Bret Hart, no, I did not see Ospreay's quote, saying that the Forbidden Door is just for people age 50 and up. That is not true. So I don't know what he's referring to. Well, if he's talking about New Japan, he's probably talking about, you know, Yuji Nagata and Suzuki coming over. But, you know, Impact, there's been a lot of talent going back and forth. Juice Robinson, David Finlay. So that's not really true. Fire Panda, all right, who had the worst match in 2021? I don't know. I've seen a lot of bad matches. Marcus the Entertainer, have you seen The Wire? No, I'm going to be starting The Wire as soon as I'm done rewatching The Shield. At my brother's insistence. Because it's one of his favorite shows, and he's appalled by the fact that I've never watched it. So, when I'm done with season 7 of The Shield, and I'm already 2 episodes into the final season, when we're done with that, I'm gonna finally watch The Wire and see what all the hype is about. I'll let you guys know what I think of it. Maz in the chat says, Juice Robinson deserves so much more. Juice Robinson is engaged to Toni Storm, so I don't cry for Juice Robinson. He's doing pretty well right now. He bought a house. He's engaged to Toni Storm. He's living the good life right now. How long until Naito returns from his injury? I believe Naito is due back in the next few weeks. If he's not already back. He's due back, I think, at some point in these next few weeks from his knee injury. Batman says, The Wire is better than The Sopranos and The Shield. Well, I'll be the judge of that. I find that hard to believe. But I have not seen it yet, so I cannot call you a liar until I actually sit down and watch The Wire, and then I will let you know if you are right or wrong. But I find that very hard to believe. Fire Panda, does Liv beat Becky for the Women's Championship? No, I don't believe so. How good was David Wright? He was very good. It's too bad he never won a championship. That would have been nice to see. Ems, salute to you too. He's saluting from Puerto Rico. Who do I think Moxley should face after returning to establish himself as a heel? If the plan is even still to make him a heel. I think it's going to be tough to turn him heel right away because he's going to have a lot of love, obviously. Everybody knows his situation. So when he first comes back, I think it would be a mistake to rush right into a heel turn. And by that point, you know, I don't know when he'll be back. It could be a couple of months. It could be longer. I don't know who the key babyfaces are going to be at that point. Will Bryan Danielson be back to being a babyface? I think he will be when the Hangman Page feud is over. I don't think he's a permanent babyface, or a permanent heel, I should say. So I would still love for them to get to Moxley and Kingston against Punk and Danielson as a team. So if they could find a way to get to that, that's a match I'd like to see. Mic drop hooligan, when do you think GTA 6 will be released? I probably will have seen Joker before GTA 6 ever comes out. It's going to be a while. We will see Half-Life 3 before GTA 6. Maz says, when is Roderick Strong's contract ending? I want to see UE all together in AEW. Well, it's not going to happen. Supposedly, Roderick Strong, I believe he may have re-signed a new deal not too long ago, which if that's the case, that he's probably locked up for a few years. So, but as we have seen, it doesn't matter how many years you sign a contract for in WWE. When you outlive your usefulness to them, they will get rid of you. So he could have signed a 10-year contract. It doesn't matter. They could fire him in 6 months. But I believe I remember reading about him signing a new deal. Of course, I don't know that for sure. I don't know that it was ever confirmed in a report on any of the reputable sites, but I could have sworn I had read about him re-signing. At least he's got something decent going, you know, with the whole Diamond Mine thing. He's the Cruiserweight champion right now. I like seeing Malcolm Bivens finally getting TV time for as long as he was there doing nothing. The Creed brothers, I think, have a huge upside. Ivy Nile has an interesting look to her. So, you know, Diamond Mine is I guess, without Hit Row being there, it's maybe by default, they're, to me, one of the more interesting acts on that entire show. The Coug says, my music nostalgia stream chats are the best. Video killed the radio star, the Buggles, an 80s one-hit wonder. Devin from New Jersey wants to know, is the reason that WWE is letting so much talent go because they secretly hope AEW will pick them up and the company will become a WWE light and mediocre product like TNA eventually became? No, I don't think so, but you remind me of a comment that Vince McMahon made on one of the investor calls many months ago. He was joking, openly joking, when he was asked about this, well, maybe we'll give them some more. It was something along those lines. So, again, when you hear about these people getting let go and being blindsided by these releases, 8 people cut yesterday, 18 people cut at the beginning of the month. So we've had 26 people so far cut from WWE's talent roster in the month of November alone. Think back to that comment that Vince McMahon made. Apparently he thinks this is one big joke. There may be more talent that we could give them. Ha ha ha. It's all fucking joke to these people. They don't take any of this seriously. Fire Panda, any idea when Alexa Bliss is set to come back? I have not heard anything. I believe she was having some kind of minor surgery, maybe on her nose or septum or something. I have not heard anything since that report, and that was probably a month ago. I haven't heard anything new. Frost, do you think the Mets will ever win the World Series again, or will LOL Mets reign forever? The Mets will win the World Series. I just don't know if they'll win the World Series when I am still as young and beautiful as I am now. So I might be old and wrinkled up by the time they win. But yes, I do believe the Mets will win the World Series. If the Braves can win the World Series this year when nobody, I don't think anybody expected them to, you know, earlier in the season, then there is hope for the Mets. Ali, good night, Solo Monster. It is 8 a.m. where he is. Holy shit. Get to bed. Or, you know what? At this point, fuck it. You may as well just stay up. Pull an all-nighter. You'll crash and burn later on. But if it's already 8 o'clock in the morning... I mean, based on you saying... Well, see, I don't know. Maybe he woke up already. Maybe he slept and he just woke up. And he's telling me goodnight. See, I read that thinking that you've been up all night, but he's probably telling me goodnight, in which case, thank you, Ali. I appreciate that. I read his super chat. I think I read it wrong, and I'm almost positive he didn't stay up all night for no reason. Maz says it's 10:32 in the morning in Pakistan. See, we got people from all over the world, all over the Middle East, Europe, Canada, everywhere, who tune into these streams and listen to these podcasts. We are a global entertainment empire here. Oh, he didn't sleep. Oh, wow. Okay, well, you better get some sleep. Because you will crash and burn, I guarantee it. Believe me, I've been there before. Devin Garcia, thank you for the 5. Now, what happens first? Mets win the World Series or Iron Sheik making it to the ring at WrestleMania? The Mets will win the World Series first. I haven't heard any updates on the Iron Sheik. I hope he's doing okay. I know his health was pretty bad. His ankles were all fucked up. I don't really hear... I mean, I know whoever it is running his Twitter account, because it's not him. I do see Iron Sheik tweets popping up on my timeline, but... He used to be all over the place, you know, when he was on Stern, and then he was, you know, he'd pop up on other shows and conventions and stuff, and now I don't know, I don't really hear much about him anymore. I think people just got a little tired, frankly, of his whole shtick. And they don't talk about Sheiky Baby anymore. Apana, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Apana MG. Michael said, what happened to the hour or less podcast? Well, this is what always happens. I always say it's going to be a shorter show, and it is only an hour and 20 minutes so far, so I should probably get out of here. All right, guys. I will see you on Sunday, 7:31. And then Sunday night for the Survivor Series stream. Don't forget to go to WrestleRumble.com. Support WrestleRumble. They do good work. And you can win $1,000 in their pick'em contest. So WrestleRumble.com is the place to go. And I'll be back here with you live on YouTube on Sunday. Alberto Ortiz dropped $1.99. Thinking of buying a belt, is it worth it? It was for me many years ago. The one that you see right there, the Big Eagle, the Attitude Era Eagle. That one I bought with my own money when they first started making those belts. So that was 20 years ago. 20 years ago this year. That belt that you see right there, that's 20 years old. Right there. And the Winged Eagle right there, which is my all-time favorite belt, is a gift. It was a gift from Matt. Shout out to Matt Harrigan, who gave me one of the coolest gifts anybody's ever given me, equaled only by another belt that was gifted to me as a surprise a few months ago from Wrestle Rumble, ironically, who I just mentioned. I got a giant box delivered to my house from my good buddy over at Wrestle Rumble and opened it up, and to my surprise, I found a custom Solomonster Championship belt, which is one of my prized possessions. Nice silver-plated title. So if you are kind of a belt mark and you've never bought one or had one before, get one. But make it a good one. So I don't know what era you grew up on, era of wrestling or WWE. If you would be a fan of the Winged Eagle, if you grew up maybe in the mid-2000s, the Undisputed title maybe, that's a beautiful belt. I think it's worth it. I wouldn't spend, you know, $800 on like an ultra deluxe or something, but if you have the money for it, why not? Everybody should treat themselves at least once to something that they really want. Don't deprive yourself. I mean, you know, if you've got the money for like even just one thing that you've really been wanting, treat yourself every now and then. Have some fun. Live your life. Life is too short. Constantly hear about people, you know, who are getting sick or having accidents and stuff, wrestlers dying young, and, you know, not enough people stop to smell the roses and realize that, you know, life is not guaranteed. And you got to treat yourself and have some fun every now and then. So, yeah, get that belt, man. Get that belt. An uplifting message here to end the stream tonight with. I feel like I could be a motivational public speaker. Maybe that could be my next job. YOLO. There you go. I hate when people say that, but well, I'll make an exception here. Because Nick Garza hit the nail on the head. YOLO. You only live once. Michael just bought a $1,600 shirt jacket. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's just crazy. You've crossed the line now. Fire Panda says you should have bought the Fiend Championship for $6,500. I don't think that I would have advised people to be spending that much money on any championship, let alone one that looked like that. That's how much they were charging for that Fiend belt when it first came out. $6,500. You could use actual human skin, like Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, to make the belt, the strap for the belt, and it still wouldn't be worth $6,500. Marcus the Entertainer, wrestler you think of with the Big Eagle belt. So that one right there. I look at that belt, honestly, the first person I think of is The Rock. When The Rock was coming out in 2000, there was one great photo where he came to the ring in like a cow's vest. It looked like a cow. he didn't come out on a cow, but like he was wearing a vest and it had like cow spots on them. And he had that belt draped over his shoulder. I always associated that championship with The Rock from 2000. Rock or Triple H? I would say that those are the ones I associate most with that belt. Fire Panda says, may we see the Solomonster Championship? Well, it's not. It's in another room. Although I did have it on the on the stream. Well, let me see here. I have, I'll tell you what, before I get out of here, I'll put the picture up for you. I have a picture of it. So let me, I will show you, because I realize not everybody probably saw the belt. So let me show people who have never seen it. This is the first time some people maybe are going to be seeing the custom Solomonster belt. So that's the belt folded. But in person, especially with the light shining off of it, looks fantastic. And let me see. Let me get you one more shot here. It's a beautiful belt. Wrestle Rumble did a hell of a job. You see the side plates have the logos from some of our t-shirts. I thought that was a very cool touch. This will be a better shot. There you go. It's a beautiful belt. I love it. Like I said, one of my prized possessions there is the skull. I love skulls. So, got that skull. You got the wing tips that come off the leather a little bit. The red and the blue. Double plates on both sides. It's a beautiful belt. And you'll notice on the left side, that leftmost plate, that is Hardy the Horse. I was just talking about my mother's children's book last night. And that is Hardy the Horse, from The Adventure of Hardy the Horse on that plate there. So, got the gold tip on the other side. I love it. So, there it is. That is the custom Solomonster Sounds Off Championship belt. Courtesy of our good buddy over at WrestleRumble.com. Would this be the only thing you would save from a burning building? It wouldn't be the only thing. See, as long as I strap it around my waist, I still have two hands. I could carry other stuff. See, that's the beauty of the belt, is that you could just strap it around your waist. Fire Panda belt is awesome. Panda family approved. Well, I'm glad you approve. Solomonster will have to defend his belt on House of Glory against Malakai Black. We do have Malakai Black coming to the NYC Arena December 11th, and just announced yesterday, it was kind of lost in the noise of all the WWE releases. I didn't get a chance to mention this, but we have Buddy Matthews, who just debuted in New Japan, the former Buddy Murphy from WWE, an old rival of Malakai Black, although they won't be wrestling each other on the show. Malakai's wrestling The Amazing Red. We're getting Buddy Matthews making his House of Glory debut. I'll get to call his match as well. So, very much looking forward to that show, and it's on a Saturday night this time, December 11th. It'll be live on Fight TV, so you guys can tune in. You can see Buddy Murphy, you can see Malakai, hear my commentary. It's going to be a good time. But that belt is staying right where it is. So, that is not an officially sanctioned House of Glory championship. I haven't talked to the promoter to get that done. We don't know yet. The announcement has not yet been made about who Buddy Matthews is going to be wrestling. So as we get closer to the show, we'll be making more announcements about the card. I can't let anything out. Can't let the cat out of the bag yet about any of this stuff. I will let them make all the announcements. Maybe AEW can bring in Buddy Matthews for a one-off for the TNT title. He's a free agent. I don't know what his contract situation is at New Japan, but, you know, if they would have an issue with him appearing on television for another promotion, could certainly happen. I think that's pretty much all I wanted to wrap up with here. So for real this time, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great weekend. And I will see you back here Sunday night for the Survivor Series stream. Take care, guys.